If God asks me, have you understood all these things, I'm going to say, let me get back to you tomorrow, because I want some time to think about this. The disciples say yes, but I'll bet they didn't understand yet. The one thing we know for sure is that if we find what is really valuable, it may be very costly. It may be very costly. We may have to sell everything we have. God may ask a lot. May not. It really depends. But it's a very costly thing, what God, if we find the truly valuable thing in life, it's worth paying anything to get it. That's the point. I'm willing to do anything if I want it badly enough. When my grandparents who raised me, they waited. My grandfather waited until I was graduating from college to retire, and he worked for the B.F. Goodrich Company. He's an executive there. Then he retired. Get it? Retire? Okay. They were downsizing to a smaller home, which I know some of you have done, and most of us will do if we live long enough. And the home that they bought in San Diego was much smaller, and so they had a dining room set that had to go. And among many other things, we were busy. I was going off to a monastery, and they were going down there, and lots of packing and stuff. And so they put an ad in the Penny Saver down there in L.A. for a bunch of different things, and it included this dining room set. This had been... They bought it during the Great Depression when they got married, and it was a very nice Duncan Fife dining room set. And however, it had been very, very used. A lot of the chair backs were broken. It had 8 chairs. 2 or 3 of them were in the garage, and that sort of thing. My mother was the kind of person that if she bought a lampshade, she left that plastic cover on for the rest of her life. Do any of you do that? I never saw a lampshade without a cover on it. So, anyway, I never saw this table without the pad that was on top of it and to protect it. It had a beautiful shine on it. However, when we went to take the pad off, it was stuck to the table. It had been there for decades, So the table was basically ruined. And people would come out and look at it. And nobody would buy it. I think they were asking $150. Remember, this was 35 years ago. Finally somebody came out and haggled with my mother and got her down to about $90, and she was glad to get rid of it because she thought we'd have to call the St. Vincent de Paul truck to come get it, And so she was glad to get that $90. And what I remember, though, is they came to pick it up a couple days before we moved everything to the Four Winds. And wouldn't you know it, I'm not making this up, but I'd forgotten this story, but a limousine came and picked it up. With a chauffeur, with a cap on, from Beverly Hills. And in the chauffeur was a handyman or somebody, and he got busy and he took the legs off of it, and the limousine was so big they just put the whole top at the table. It was not a small top at all. Just slid it right in the back. And as they were going out, I think I was the only one in the house at that moment. And I remember asking one of them, I think I asked the guy that was taking the legs off, I said, so where are you from? He said, Beverly Hills. And he said, how much you sell your mother sell this for? They said, $90. He said, your mother did not know the value of what she sold. He said, when this table is restored, it will be worth thousands of dollars. It was not only was it an original Duncan Fife, but it was one of the unique ones that was only built for a very short period of time. Who knew? It reminds me of that other story I told a few years ago about them having a 55 Chevy red and white Bel Air hardtop and sold that for $90 also. I could have won the car show with that. My parents knew how to buy them, but they didn't know how to sell them. And in this gospel, we have buyers and sellers. At times we are sellers. At times we are buyers. Do I know the value of what I have? Or will I give it away for nothing? Do I know the value of something very precious when I see it? Oftentimes, the precious things of life go by us, and we only recognize them when they're long gone. much like we don't realize the valuable things in our lives are the people in them, aren't they? Not the things, but the people. Sometimes we don't realize it till they're gone, for example. Or like the table, you don't realize it till afterward. That table wouldn't have fit in any place I've ever lived since then. But, you know, you don't want to get taken. And so you learn from that to look and see, is this more valuable than I realize? The Lord is talking about heaven, the kingdom of heaven. Right now, the kingdom of heaven obviously does not exist in this world in a visible form. Otherwise, you wouldn't have people in Oslo being blown to bits and every other conceivable horrible thing you read in the paper every day, along with all the great stuff in the world. The kingdom of heaven is within you. God's planted his seed here. This is going to live forever. Everything around me physically is going to stay here. But I'm going to live forever. The kingdom of God is already beginning in here. God planting his seeds, sowing the seeds. And the Lord is saying that the kingdom of heaven is the most valuable thing in the whole world. Nothing should come between us and going to heaven. If there's anything that's stopping me from getting to heaven, it's got to go. I have to be willing to pay any price to go to heaven. Christ has already paid the price for us. But we have to accept the gift. We have to recognize the preciousness of what God is offering. And it takes a real moment of grace to see what really matters in our lives. One of the sellers in these first two parables does not know the value of his field. Now, in the ancient world, places like Galilee were constantly being run over in history by different armies and things. People have enemies. They would bury their treasure in an obscure place and then hope to come back and dig it up if they had to run away from their home. Or perhaps the person had died. The current owner bought the land, obviously not knowing there was treasure buried there. This was a pretty common occurrence, finding something somebody had forgotten and buried in their backyard. Didn't have metal detectors in those days. So this guy, for whatever reason, he's going about his business, doing his work. He's not looking for buried treasure. He's not going around with a metal detector. He's either a digger, maybe he's planting olive trees, maybe he's doing a site survey to see if he wants to buy the land, and doing a little selective digging to see how the soil is. Who knows? But he's going about his work. He's doing his daily tasks. And while he's going about his business of life, driving down River Road or whatever, suddenly he encounters the greatest treasure he will ever find in his whole life. What does he do? He doesn't steal it. He puts it back in the ground, covers it over, and goes immediately and empties every bank account to come up with enough cash to buy that field. The seller did not know what he was selling. But the buyer, very judiciously, put that treasure back and bought it legitimately. He got a good deal. He recognized his moment of opportunity. Had he missed it, he would have regretted it the rest of his life. Many of you know what I mean. If you passed up an opportunity and you really know that you blew it, you never forget it. You know? And the other guy, or gal, I don't know, somebody's looking for pearls. Pearls were the most valuable quantity in the ancient world. More precious than gold, more precious than silver. In the Bible, a pearl means wisdom. So Jesus knows this, and he's saying, it's like a merchant searching for fine pearls. One can imagine him in some bazaar somewhere in the Middle East with a bin full of pearls, and he's looking for a blue pearl or something. And he knows what he's looking for. He knows a good pearl from a lousy one. And perhaps the seller also knew. There's no evidence there that the seller did not know the value of what he was selling. But when he found the valuable pearl he was looking for, again, there was no price he was unwilling to pay to obtain the most precious pearl. We, on the other hand, very often settle for false pearls. We settle for something far less valuable and consider it to be our precious possession. For example, many people would think, well, it's sunny today, I'm going to go to the beach, Mass can wait, we have that every weekend, without realizing that this is the pearl of great price. This will last forever. This is like gold. Every time we come to Mass is something that is so precious, the Eucharist, Jesus himself, the creator of the world, but they don't realize it because it looks cheap. It looks free. it doesn't cost us a lot of money. And so we go off and take that vacation and we forget all about Jesus. I'm not speaking of anybody here. You're all here today. But, right, at least physically. But Christ, you see, Christ hides himself. He doesn't make the treasure obvious. At times, we're going to encounter by surprise. We have to be ready, or we'll miss our opportunity. We have to have the money ready. We have to know what's valuable by listening to the scriptures so we don't miss our chance. Other times, we're all seekers. We're looking. We're looking for God, and God is going to hide himself, so we've got to keep looking for that most precious thing. When we find it, it's worth everything to obtain it. I can tell you on the last day of work, it was July 31st, 1991. I went to daily mass, and this was the daily mass reading. And so to me, it always reminds me of my last day of work. I said, I'm buying a pearl, and I don't know whether it's going to turn out well or not, but I had to pay everything to get it, you know. And so it's a personal reading. I think many of us can appreciate what Christ is saying. We often don't realize what the most valuable things until they're almost gone. It is a truth. It is often in suffering that we realize what matters. A good example of this is if I suddenly am diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, life becomes very clear very fast. Think about it. Or I lose my job and suddenly, you know, I find out, gosh, you know, having good employment really means a great deal to me. I took this for granted. I have a financial setback. A loved one passes away suddenly and I didn't have a chance to say goodbye. Well, that changes us forever. We're never quite the same after that. We miss an opportunity, a financial or in romance some lottery ticket we were going to buy. We had the winning numbers and we didn't buy. You never forget it. And that's part of God's plan for us so that we don't miss the next one. It often, God will, at moments of great grace, God will try to get through to us that the kingdom of heaven is worth anything. I don't know how many funerals I have done as a priest where I look out at the congregation. There's always a mixed group. I know there's always people that don't want to be in church. They don't want to be at a funeral. They don't want to think about death, but they're there because they love somebody for the hour. You can see the discomfort in their eyes. And yet, all of us, priests and ministers, we do everything we can to try to make it a grace moment. Do you realize what is valuable? Yes, they do. Their family, their friends, their health. And then there's that missing component for some people, their faith. Where am I going? I learned this when my sister died 40 years ago under tragic circumstances. I asked myself the question, where did she go? And it led me to the priesthood. It's as simple as that. That's where it began. To answer that question, I've spent the last 40 years searching for God. I said, either she exists or life has no meaning. And it was just as simple as that. Without that tragedy, I probably would never have been kicked out of my career when the time came. It was that constant searching for the pearl of great price, the wisdom of the realization that there really is a world to come that made all the difference in the world. And so when God offers you that opportunity of insight, grab it, hold on to it, be ready for the unexpected opportunity, be a searcher who is looking for God. God gives us these opportunities. If we miss them, we will regret it for the rest of our lives.